website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We'll be talking about an issue today that I think is pretty relevant, seeing that we're about 24 hours away from the final day of election this cycle for a presidential election. It's been a long haul. Much has been said. As old cliche goes, a lot of water's gone under the dam in the past 6 months in particular. We're talking about today, do not be deceived. I'm going to let that soak in. Do not be deceived. Most as Christians understand that from a biblical context. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But may I say to you, we're listening to demonic voices today in the last few hours before an election. And I believe that as Christians, conservatives, patriots, as citizens, we need to recognize demonic deception and say no to embracing it. So that's what we'll be talking about today. We'll be dealing with what Kamala Harris is saying about Trump, what is real about Trump, what should we do in the state of Florida with six proposed amendments on the ballot. We'll talk about these things today. Love to have your dialogue and input on it. And keep in mind, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God's word stands all of the test of time and shall remain true for all of eternity. So as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the word of God, not based on denominational dogma, not based on philosophical rhetoric or political policies. We do so based on the scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, I call the Word of God the truth book. The truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. Truth ought to be understood as being true. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility to say that somehow, some way, that everybody has their own version of truth. And yet, that's what is said in some areas. Headline I'm looking at, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Then the dictionary in this article, the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, goes on to say, truth is the body of real things. Truth is real events. Truth are real facts. Truth are actualities and the state of being the case in fact. But ladies and gentlemen, in that same article, the survey shows that 55% of the millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, believe that there's no absolute truth. They say each person determines his or her own version of truth. There's a problem with that. In fact, we're witnessing that today from Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. We're witnessing that today from the socialist Marxist media. We're witnessing that today from those that would have us to believe that Kamala Harris is going to be a changed person if she is elected president. Listen, let me say this at the very outset. She's been tried for 4 years and found to be faulty, a failure, and a phony. I believe that it's time that we, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, recognize a lie and stand for truth. This is the reason I'm saying today we need to understand, do not be deceived. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Hus went on to make a powerful statement in some of his presentations. He said, do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is true. I am absolutely in favor of that statement and believe that it ought to be used today in every category and area of life. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility to say that somehow, some way, a half-truth is truth. Half-truth is a whole lie. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further society moves from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we see that taking place each and every day in our society. More so today, I believe, than in my lifetime. In fact, during this presidential election cycle, I don't believe in my lifetime I have witnessed more denigration of the truth, more departure from the truth, and the more desperate lies against what would be called truth in my lifetime. I've not seen it. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said the decline, he warns of the decline of truth is linked to the decline of America, is linked to the death of truth. DeMint says, in part, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches, DeMint states. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, we're in trouble in America. Trouble theologically, doctrinally, biblically. We're in trouble socially, ethically, and morally. We're in trouble militarily. We're in trouble politically. And we need to turn back to God. And that's my warning today. That's my message today. That's my agenda today as we talk about the eve of the presidential election, the eve of the election. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and the hurricane preparedness that we need to be aware of. And Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, right after a brief monologue, we're going to continue our thought today and talk about do not be deceived. I've got Dr. Neil Phelps with me. Dr. Phelps is one of our theology professors and Bible professors at Conservative Theological University. We'll be talking about truth and error. We'll be talking about truth and lie. And the focus of the latter portion of the broadcast today, we're going to talk about the six amendments, six of them, proposed constitutional amendments on our ballot for the state of Florida. Floridians need to be aware of what will happen if you place something on the Constitution. It is irrevocable. It is there, and it is rare that anything is ever taken off. So we'll be talking about that today, but I'm thankful to have Dr. Phelps with me as we talk about this one day before election final. On the eve of this election, we need to recognize what is at risk. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say that probably, and I've not calculated, probably about 24 hours or less than 24 hours, we need to recognize truth from delusion. We need to recognize truth from error. We need to be willing to separate out what is delusional, what is deceptive, and what is real. And I say that because I listened just this morning, ladies and gentlemen, at one of the national news outlets on the television dial. They were talking about the election, and they were different, given the pros and the cons. And one pastor's wife, don't know what denomination, one pastor's wife said, "I just can't vote for Donald Trump." Now, there are a lot of folks that have talked about that, but I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, from a Christian perspective, we do not have a choice. When you understand it's the difference between the future of our faith and family and freedom, when we recognize that's on the line, we need to understand we're not voting for personalities. We're not voting for ethnicity. We're not voting for a gender. We're voting for someone that can lead America and protect our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a need for us to separate out deception from truth. Keep in mind, Kamala Harris has been in office for 4 years, yet she says that she wants more, wants to move forward. What does it mean when she keeps saying, "I want to move forward"? What does Kamala Harris mean when she says, "My values have not changed"? What does Kamala Harris mean when she says, "My faith is real"? Just recently, she was in a major black congregation over the weekend in a church, and when she talked about her faith in God, there were some boos coming out of the congregation. They recognized the lie. And that's what I'm calling on us to do today, is do not be deceived. I'm looking at an article by Walker Wildman, CEO of American Family Association. He says, and this was about 4 days ago, "We're just days away from the critical election, and I can't stress enough how important your role is as a believer in this moment in our nation's history. This isn't just about politics. It's about stewardship. God created government, and he calls us to act wisely in our stewardship. He entrusts us to make wise choices about the leaders we select. When we choose to disengage from politics, we end up neglecting one of the areas of stewardship God has placed in our purview. God has blessed us with the opportunity to elect our leaders. We can't afford to sit this one out. When Christians make the choice to disengage, it leaves room for politics and leaders that don't reflect biblical values. We just can't let this happen," end quote. Dr. Phelps, thank you for being here today. It's always a joy to have you on the air with me. When you hear statements made in relationship to Christians sitting it out, with Christians saying, "I just can't vote for either candidate," a Christian saying that, "I can't vote for Trump," how do you respond to that? How should we as Christians respond to this very serious election?
I believe that as a Christian, that we are responsible to participate in everything that takes place, because it affects not just our government in Washington, D.C., but it affects our churches and our homes as well. The Bible tells us that we are not second-class citizens. We have a dual citizenship, of course. We're citizens of heaven because that's where our home is. That's where our future home is. But we're also citizens of our country, and we need to take interest in our country and who our leaders are. And we have the opportunity to be a part of this election and choose who will be our leaders in our country and what path we will take, what direction our nation will be going. I'm concerned. I'm very concerned that if we do not choose the right leadership, especially our president, our nation will be lost. Our constitutional republic will be something of the past, and that we will suffer the consequences.
I'm afraid of that, Dr. Phelps, and it's always amazing to me, sad to me, when we realize that there is so many Christians that are not voting. Until recent years, I would have never fathomed. I could not have fathomed. Would not have believed it. But statistically, I'm told that in 2020, about 40 million Christians did not vote. I'm told that in 2022, some 25 to 30 million Christians did not vote. Also, with some of the latest survey, out of 104 million Christians, according to the Barna Report, 17% of those say they would vote if their pastor would stress the need of it in the pulpit. So, Dr. Phelps, that tells me that a lot of pastors are defecting from their responsibilities and duties that God has placed us here for. Scripture tells us in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, that the pastors are to shepherd the flock of God. And that word shepherd is the little Greek word poimenitate, that means to lead, to feed, to guide, to guard, to direct, to protect. And that's the pastor's responsibility. And so if the pastor abrogates the responsibility of feeding the sheep, leading the sheep, directing the sheep, instructing the sheep, then the pastor's failed. And I'm always sad when I see those that tell me, well, my pastor doesn't talk about politics. My pastor doesn't talk about election. My pastor will not tell the congregation about the candidates or vet the candidates. I'm saddened by that, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that it is the responsibility of the shepherd to shepherd the sheep. And Dr. Phelps, I believe also when we see in Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, when it talks about the watchman on the wall and God charging Ezekiel with the responsibility of being that watchman of the wall. And if he warns and people do not listen, then the blood is on the heads of the people. But if he fails to warn, then God says their blood will be on his hands as a result of it. And so in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, the culmination of that unit of thought says, how should we then live? And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's a challenge today, this eve of the most consequential election in our lifetime. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning. It's not a question. It's exactly what you're saying, because I'm going to tell you, like I told you before, I'm in my 70s. And no, I'm telling you, no, black preachers are preaching about what you're saying. Not, I have heard anyone except for Abraham Hamilton III. That's it. And it's sad. It's sad that...
Brother, you're exactly right. If I could... Kenneth, you're right. If I could jump in for a moment, it is sin, I believe, to the greatest degree when a pastor fails to recognize his responsibility in shepherding the flock. And part of that shepherding is to inform, is to guide, to guard, to direct, to correct, to chasten, to encourage, and inform. And that's not being done in many of our churches. I can't say most, but in many of our churches today. And I believe that is necessary. So, Kenneth, let me ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot. Have you already voted? Kenneth, are you there?
You sure did.
You did?
Can you hear me?
That's good.
Can you hear me?
That's good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can barely hear you. You're muffled, Kenneth. I don't know why, but the sound is not coming through very well. But I am thankful for you, thankful for your vote. And I don't know if you followed my suggestion recently. Everybody in your handheld device, your cell telephone, your iPad, all of your contacts, send them a contact. Say, I voted for, and I'm hoping you'll put in there, President Trump, I voted for, and I recommend that you do that. Send it out to everybody that you have contacts in your contact list. I believe in these last hours, it can make a dramatic difference if we do so. And Kenneth, I'm talking about today, do not be deceived. So my question to you, and then I'll let you go, is there an attempt by Kamala Harris to deceive America?
Yes, sir.
In what way?
In what way because, like she said, she's not going to change from her spot when she was vice president. And on top of that, I mean, her father was a Marxist.
Her whole family was a Marxist. Her whole family comes out of a being absolutely saturated in embracing and teaching Marxism, and that's where she is. She's not changed. In fact, she has said several times, and many people have not recognized it. She said, "My values have not changed."
Changed.
She's exactly
yes.
right. They haven't changed. And Kenneth, one of the things that I'm concerned about in a recent statement, she started using the term, we want to just move forward, move forward. Move forward from what? Move forward from where? What is the point of reference of moving forward?
Well,
we know what she's done for 4 years.
That's a young blood. Like Obama said, it's going to be a change, a switch, a new order. That's what he was actually saying, in a sense, a new order. And I know every candidate, they'll go to church, but they fake. Because they know in America, if you go to church, they think that you are going to be right for God.
That's right. But you're right. It's a facade. It's a farce. It's a phony. It is a smoke and mirrors. It is a deception. And that's one of the things I'm talking about, is saying do not be deceived. Just because Kamala Harris goes to church, just because in fact, Kamala Harris, in one of the churches she was in over the weekend, she told the congregation that voting for her was being obedient to God.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
If it weren't so sad, it'd be laughable.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Dr. Kimberly. You remember when I think it was like a couple of college kids that were Christian and say that God is God, Jesus is Lord, and she said you had the wrong rally. You need to go down the street.
Yes, that is saying that Jesus is not significant. One said Jesus Christ is Lord. The other says Jesus Christ is King. They were both basically ushered out of the rally. And she said, I believe you need to be in that smaller rally down the street. Somebody had on Facebook the other day that one day Kamala Harris is going to stand before Jesus. And he said, I'm sorry, you're at the wrong rally. That is about the size of what we see, and it's sad. So, Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Keep looking up. Be sure to tell everybody you can how they need to vote if we're going to save America. Listen, our focus needs to be on our nation and the future of our nation and the benefits that we have in our nation based on our constitutional republic, and not based on gender, not based on ethnicity, not based on what someone says, but what we've seen in a track record. We saw a 4-year track record of Donald Trump. We've seen a 4-year track record of Kamala Harris. We need to just mirror those two and say, which one will be better for the Christian, for the conservative, for the patriot, for our faith, family, and freedom? Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Dr. Neil Phelps with me today. Dr. Phelps is a Bible and theology professor in Conservative Theological University. We're thankful for having the privilege of having him with us today. But ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about this issue, do not be deceived. When Kamala Harris says she's going to move forward from where? Move forward with what? Move forward to do what? She says that we need to know that she's, in fact, she was on, I believe it's called The View. That's a group of open-minded, brainless women. And I don't say that denigrating all women, but that's what the setup. And on that program, somebody, one of the women, asked her, do you plan to change anything? Would you change anything that Joe Biden has done? And she said, oh, well, I can't think of anything. So the thing that I point out, ladies and gentlemen, is if she can't think of anything, she's been responsible for the border and she failed. She's been responsible for so many things as vice president. And she's talking about moving forward with the same plans, program, and protocol that she's used for the past 4 years, which has almost destroyed the economy, almost destroyed the American military, almost destroyed our sovereignty in America. And you're going to move forward with that? Ladies and gentlemen, I say no. We need to say, and she said in her speech yesterday, she made the statement, once I'm elected president, there is nothing that can stop me. Stop her from what? From being the dictator that she claims that Donald Trump wants to be. Therein lies the problem that I'm saying today. Do not be deceived. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, you're right on target, and I just want to remind ourselves of something. God told us to be weary of wolves coming in sheep's clothing, and we have a bunch of wolves out there today, and it doesn't matter whether we vote yes or no on two amendments. It's so important. That does not enhance a woman's right to vote or to choose or make a choice in her life one way or the other. We all have that choice given from God. We can choose to do right or wrong. It doesn't make any difference. What makes the difference is do we choose to do wrong or right? And so that's the two things about this. But now yesterday on Meet the Press, there was a gentleman on there, and he was associated with the church where Dr. Martin Luther King was the pastor, and he endorsed Kamala Harris to vote for her for president. Now, you're talking about a divided nation. Now, we're divided. Christians are divided. You made that mention. I just don't have much respect for a pastor that doesn't stand up and stand for the truth.
Amen. Well, you know, and I believe it's Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 25 and 26, the scripture is very, very clear, warning us that a house divided, a church divided, a nation divided cannot stand. And we're witnessing a division in our nation that I've not seen in my lifetime. And I'm still under 100. And when you recognize what is being planned by the left, in fact, I was looking at an article just a few moments ago, and I'll touch on this at this point. The headline says, is the left preparing for a war if Trump wins? The propaganda campaign labeling Donald Trump as an aspiring dictator determined to use the military and national security apparatus against his political opponents is designed not to affect the upcoming election, but rather to shape the post-election environment. It is the central piece of a narrative that, by characterizing Trump as a tyrant, indeed likening him to Hitler, establishes the conditions for violence, not just another attempt on his life, but political violence on the massive scale intended to destabilize our entire nation. Another headline says, DOJ may invoke Civil War era law in warning federal agents not to respond to polling places with guns. And it goes on to talk about an 1864 law that the Department of Justice is now invoking, because I believe, Harper, I believe they see, they understand, the electing those heads of the departments as the DOJ and the FBI, etc., they recognize what they're promulgating, what they're fomenting, and what will happen if President Trump is elected. I'm not as concerned about tomorrow as I am between tomorrow and January the 21st, especially if Donald J. Trump is elected. What are your thoughts on that? We've got about 40 seconds.
Well, I just hope and pray, and it's God is just going to have to intervene in such a way until, and I'm just praying for peace.
Amen.
Peace, all we can pray for. Say, God, and I know one thing, the Lord is on the way. This might be the beginning of looking for the rapture.
Amen. I believe you're exactly right. You're on target theologically, doctrinally, and biblically. We're on the very precipice of the rapture, and after the rapture, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the lawless one, steps on the scene, rules and reigns as a global dictator that will want to destroy everything that's called godly in Christianity. Harper, thank you so much for your call today. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're continuing our conversation about do not be deceived. We're talking about 24 hours before the election. How should we then live? What should we do? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park.